The St. Louis Cardinals you played for?
Yeah, so I got drafted.
Rosarena rips it to left. Warning track wall. It's gone.
They found out that I was a professional baseball player. They thought that I had money. So they were trying to extort me.
But the Latino community is just on the rise with Islam.
Islam is a religion that is growing by the day. Research from the Pew Research Center shows that Latino representation among Muslims in America is on the rise. In 2011, Latinos made up 6% of the Muslim population. In 2017, that number was up to 8%. And there's a new study underway right now, which gives us an update on growth in the last 6 years.
I got that guy beat up.
You got the Muslim beat up.
I don't know if it was because I got Jesus Christ tatted on my left arm, or that I used the Bible, and I always had a Bible in my back pocket. I know I had an addiction to women. It got the alcohol started to get to me. It got me to pick up the Quran.
Yeah.
Once I picked up the Quran, it was game over, and I met the Muslim there again, the guy that I got beat up.
We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Listen, if you want an opportunity to support Dawah, to get the Sadaqatun Jariya, this is a project for you to do that. I'm saying to you very clearly, you know, whether it's a dollar or whether it's $1 million, this is the project that you need to support so we can have a template, you know, for Dawah and a community. And we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to duplicate this here 10 times all over America. This is Sheikh Khalid Yassin speaking to you from the Deen Dawah Center in Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing, my brother?
Good, good.
Former professional baseball player with MLB, Will
Pujols.
It's good to have you on the Deen Show.
It's good to be here.
And you were also the Christian, I didn't know this, many people are not going to know that, you were, the league actually had a Christian representative, and you were the head of that also, is that correct?
Yes, yes, I was the, what they called the representative of Baseball Chapel in the minor leagues. So essentially what happens is we have church for Christians, for the Christian baseball players, and I would get with the chaplain on Wednesdays. We'd go over the material that we were going to speak about on the Sunday. On Sundays, I made sure that the players who were Christian would show up.
Now, before we even get into that, I mean, I could just imagine. I mean, you reminded me of another person who's from the Dominican Republic, the famous baseball player. He's from Chicago.
Yeah, Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, Sammy Sosa, Slammin' Sammy. I mean,
He's a legend in the.
He's a legend not only in baseball but in the Dominican Republic.
Have you met him?
I want to say that I did when I was a kid. I'm not too sure though. I met so many baseball players because I come from a baseball family.
Yeah.
I played baseball. My father had grown up as a kid, and then I have a cousin who just retired with 703 home runs, and
wow.
He was huge.
What position did you play?
So I played outfield.
Outfield.
Yes, that's how I was drafted. I came up playing all positions, but whenever I got drafted as an outfielder.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit, and you were telling me that now, because you think, okay, you're living a dream now. You made it.
Yeah.
Right? You made it to this professional, you're a professional athlete, professional baseball player. Then a whole new world opens up.
Oh, yeah.
And that opened up to you, huh? And you said you got to meet, you said, this is how I knew the devil was true.
Definitely. You know, I was sheltered as a kid, right? And my parents were Catholics. You know, we went to Catholic church on Sunday. I ended up going to a Catholic school while I was going to high school. And I hadn't really been out into the world. I hadn't really seen too much other than what I saw on TV and what I saw from my family, which were always, you know, usually good things. And when I became a professional baseball player, I started looking around. You know, I was now introduced into the world down in West Palm Beach. And it was the night scene, the nightclubs, the cars, the money. You know, we kind of had to keep up, right? Because you have to keep up that look, that image. And it put a lot of pressure on me. Got a lot of peer pressure from outside people. And I wasn't ready for that.
It was the St. Louis Cardinals you played for?
Yeah, so I got drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals. And what happens in baseball is once you get drafted, then they move you into the minor leagues, and then you work your way up to the big leagues. So I essentially was drafted, and then I had to work my way up. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get too far up, but I did get to be around, you know, the MLB superstars and, you know, the people who had already made it.
So even before you got to that level now, what was it that started to open up? I mean, was it just now you're coming up and money's coming in? You know, you were talking about you have your crew now.
Yeah.
And what's happening?
So I got $120,000 to sign. And let me say that back in 2005, it was a lot more money than it is now. I had never seen this type of money ever. Definitely blinded me a little bit, and I was something I wasn't prepared for. I didn't have the financial education, but then at the same time, what happened is that everybody became my friend, right? My friend. And I ended up having an entourage, and I honestly didn't know how to choose the friends. You know, as a Christian, you always want to see the good in people, right? And I gotta say, I didn't have the instruction to know how to choose individuals. But at the time, I just wanted protection, and I wanted to have a crew around me. Everybody else had a crew around them. And I guess I didn't choose the right people. But yeah, money, girls, or women, just everything just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm.
But these seem like two opposite worlds, because still, you're a Christian. You're somebody who's supposed to be representing Christ. You're supposed to be Christ-like. You're supposed to be away from chasing your desires. Still, as a Christian, aren't you?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I feel that in Christianity, we lack instruction as Christians, right? I know as a Muslim now, I know how to choose my friends. I know, you know, what to do even when I enter a bathroom, when I go into a house. I say Bismillah, you know. We're instructed to be around certain type of people, the people that are making God happy. And I'm not going to tell you that there's no instruction in Christianity, but it's not the same as Islam. Because what I see in Christianity, especially from the people that I grew up around, was the more money that you had, the higher in rank you were. Versus in Islam, the closer you are to God, the better Muslim you are, the higher rank, right? So it seemed like when I started making more money than my family, my parents, now I had the authority. But where does my authority come from? And that's where I was lost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do.
And how are the other Christians in the league? And how do they pick you now to be the head? You're the head representative for the Christians in the MLB?
In minor league baseball. So the way they chose me, I don't know if it was because I got Jesus Christ tatted on my left arm, or that I used the Bible. And I always had a Bible in my back pocket.
You always had a Bible in your back pocket?
I always had a Bible
in
my back. Yep, no joke. And one thing that I noticed is that no matter how deep my Christianity was, my relationship with Jesus Christ or God, I honestly can't tell you. I was very confused. No matter how that was, that didn't affect anyone on the outside. People still just looked at me like a regular person. I wasn't praying or anything like that where people would see now as a Muslim, hey, I got to go pray, right? Dhuha is coming up. As a Christian, you really don't have that. So the outside forces, you know, they could get you very easily because we That's the instruction that I'm talking about. We really don't have the instruction on how to live the day-to-day life, you know, versus, you know, being a Muslim, we don't have to pray five times a day. So the other Christians, I want to say, they fell into the same temptations that I fell into. You know, it was my Christian brothers that I would go to the club with, you know. I would be talking to girls with them, you know. We mix and you know, go out to the mall and spend money and flash. So I don't really even know how to answer that nowadays, you know, because now being a Muslim, I it's clear for me, you know, what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do.
I mean, nobody can say that you weren't someone, you were heavily invested. You got a Jesus tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Bible in your back pocket. You knew your Christianity, obviously.
Yeah, no, I look,
you
I love
Bible.
I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And
we'll get into this deeper, but you still love Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, no, I love Jesus even more now.
Yeah, okay, as a Muslim.
As a Muslim, I love Jesus more because now I understand his message via the Quran. I understood his message like never before. And I understood what God wanted out of Jesus' message. So now I feel like I'm doing what Jesus asked me to do versus what others told me to do.
So no one can say, look, he didn't know his Christianity. He wasn't a real Christian.
Oh, no. Everyone who knew me was, they knew that I was about Christ. They knew that I was a devout Christian. They knew that not only did I go to church, but I would try to bring people to the church. And that's the reason why I feel like they picked me as the representative of Baseball Chapel was because I invited everyone. And not only that, I spoke English and Spanish. There's a lot of Spanish speakers in these professional baseball teams.
Yeah.
So I was able to communicate with both the English and the Spanish players.
I was just watching a report not too long ago, and they were showing that the Latino community is just on the rise with Islam. There are more and more and more Latinos accepting Islam.
Yes, yes. So, you know, one thing that I learned, you know, after becoming a Muslim was our roots, a lot of our roots are in Islam. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in Spain, before whatever happened that the Catholic Church took over, it was a Muslim nation, mm-hmm. right? So essentially what happened, especially in my country, was in Spain, the queen did not want Muslims or Jews in her country anymore.
Yeah.
So they ended up coming to the Americas. Christopher Columbus discovered Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, the country I was born in, and he spread Catholicism, but the people that were there with him that he brought over were Jews and Muslims. So I want to say that we have it in us. And we just don't know. This is forgotten knowledge, you know, and it's almost become forbidden knowledge. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've noticed that if I speak about Islam, I get backlash really quick, mm-hmm. you know, and that's something that we can get into if you want to.
Yeah, what had you come to a point where you decided to look further into Islam and just really thinking about purpose of life? You know, you're a Christian, tattoo. Jesus, you got the Bible in your back pocket, and you're partying, so you're between two worlds, you're confused, and now here comes Islam. And how does Islam come into the picture at all?
Okay, so, you know, playing baseball, I got around the wrong people, and I started to lose a lot of money. So I wanted to make fast money, and these individuals so happened, you know, how to make that type of money. So, you know, just being around them, being influenced by them, I ended up getting wrapped up in something. Now, they never really wanted to tell me what it was about. It was a situation where, I went to jail, and it's almost like this Andrew Tate situation. He goes to jail, he's in there, they're investigating, but there's no charges.
Same thing with you.
Same thing with me. Although here in America, it works a little bit different, but I was in jail, I was in there for months, right? But they didn't tell me exactly what I did or anything. And two things happened while I was in jail, all right? And this is in the span of 10 months while I was in detention. I learned about Islam.
In the jail?
In the jail. I learned about Islam.
Is it in a county jail?
It was a county jail.
County jail. Okay. So you didn't go to penitentiary?
No. This is a detention center.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And this is a place so they can go and investigate and see what they can bring to a trial.
Yeah.
So my network of guys led me there, mm-hmm. right?
Bad friends.
Because, you know, I didn't have the guidance to know exactly who to have around me. I was very blind as a Christian. I thought everyone was a good person. So I ended up in jail, For something I did not do.
You got exonerated.
I got exonerated from the heinous charges they were charging me with. But during that time, that's when I met Muslims who were practicing, and they told me about Islam. Now, I didn't want to buy it, right? I was still holding on to Jesus. I was still holding on to the word. But one thing happened, and it was I got into a debate with a Muslim in jail, and he beat me. He got me.
How did he get you? How?
Well, he proved to me that Jesus wasn't God. And the way that he did that was using common sense. And it was actually things that I had always questioned as a Christian.
You already were questioning these
things. I was already questioning these things.
And this was just solidified. Now the Muslim comes and he gets you to a point you're stumped. Like, okay.
He got me to pick up the Quran.
Yeah.
Once I picked up the Quran, it was game over. Yeah. I knew it was the truth, right? But when I had this debate, he asked me, okay, well, you believe Jesus is God, correct? I said, yeah, I believe Jesus is God. He said, but wasn't Jesus praying? I said, yeah. Well, who was he praying to? I said, he was praying to God. He was like, you just said Jesus was God, so why was he praying to God? Mm-hmm. So then I went into circles, and then I'm thinking in my mind, I said, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. So something crazy ended up happening. At this time, I had a crew in jail. Mm-hmm. I got that guy beat up.
You got the Muslim beat up because
I got the Muslim
proved to you that Jesus was.
He proved to me that, yeah. And I had this type of jealousy or something inside.
Wow.
I got him beat up, and they took him away. I stayed in there, and then I started to learn about the law. I was very frightened because I didn't know why I was in jail. I didn't have any lawyers. At this point, I had already lost all my money. So I would go to the law library every single day. So when I'm learning the law, I learn about contradictions. If you tell a police officer something, and then you go to court and you say something different, you're basically lying. You're contradicting yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, I picked up the Old Testament, and then I read the New Testament of the Bible, and I started seeing all the contradictions. And I was like, this isn't right. Maybe this guy had truth to him. Mm-hmm. And then another amazing thing happened, which was I now have good understanding of the law. I have a knack for it. So now I'm helping guys out around me with their cases. They weren't very educated where I was at. I had my education. And then I was learning the law at the same time, so I would help these guys. I noticed that the guys that helped me, that wanted me to help them, were the Muslim guys. Mm-hmm. The other guys, the Christians, they all were saying, oh, he's a jailhouse snitch. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't trust him. And these are the guys that I was going to, you know, the Sunday church with in jail. The Muslim guys, you know, they would say, I'm going to go pray on him. I got instruction from Allah that you're a good person. You're a trustworthy person. I said, who is this Allah and why do you guys believe? But I noticed that they were believers, right? They were believing in me. And I was honestly telling the truth. I try to tell the truth to all those guys in there. And then I helped this one guy. I helped him. And he would always pray, always come back to me, always pray, always come back to me. I helped him get out. And it felt really good inside. And he
you
said,
helped
Will,
get out of the jail.
I helped him get out of the jail. And he said, Will, I appreciate everything that you're doing, but I want you to have this. He gave me a Quran. So then I was reading the Quran after that. I started to see the truth in the Quran. Everything made sense.
It all started to come together.
Wow. It wasn't telling me not to believe in Jesus. It wasn't telling me not to believe in the Bible. It was just telling me how to believe in Jesus. How to believe in the Bible. It started connecting all the dots that I needed to know. Now I understood Jesus' role. Now I understood the roles of all the prophets. Now I understood the role of God. Now I understood what God wanted from us and how to see these people who were going to take me astray. I started to see that. So something happened after that. I almost got killed. Individual came in, got with a bunch of guys. They found out that I was a professional baseball player. They thought that I had money. So they were trying to extort me. They beat me up really bad. And then they ended up taking me to a segregated place in the county jail. And I met the Muslim there again, the guy that I got beat up.
The one that told you that Jesus was praying, how could Jesus be God? If he's yeah. praying to God, you like that, you get him beat up, and now you run into him again.
I run into him again.
After you got beat up.
After I got beat up.
How things came around, huh?
Things came around.
Wow,
and
subhanAllah.
So I told him, look, I have the Quran now. I'm sorry, brother, for everything that I did. And he said, well, whenever you're ready to take Shahada, you can take your Shahada with me. I ended up taking my Shahada with him.
SubhanAllah.
And he taught me how to pray in Arabic. Uh-huh. And as soon as that happened, it was like Allah was putting all the pieces together and I ended up getting out. So I know that that was my mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
To go into the county jail to get you to go through this experience so you can be gifted a Quran and everything else.
I came out a Muslim.
You came out, you took a Shahada in jail, came out, exonerated free of all the charges.
Yes.
But you had to go through that.
I had to go through that.
To be where you're at today here.
Yes.
On the Deen Show, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Yes. Allah so Allah. Imagine how I felt whenever I saw that brother again. You know, I hugged him. I told him I was sorry. And he acted like nothing had ever happened. You know, and I just remember, you know, when I was a Christian, I had never felt that type of brotherhood. I had never felt someone truly forgive me, you know. It was always, oh, I got something against you, or I'm going to use it as soon as I can, you know. And Allah speaks about all of these things in the Quran. You know, He talks about the believers and the hypocrites. You know, He talks about what we should look out for. All the signs are in there. So in the end, people ask me, well, how did you become a Muslim? It was the Quran. I challenge everyone to read the Quran who hasn't read it. The truth is in there. I don't know how to explain it to anyone else. Mm-hmm. The truth is in there, especially if you're a Christian and you have those doubts because things don't really make sense to you, which, you know, I run into a lot of guys that feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I tell them, pick up the Quran. You know, it's not something I want to force. It's not, just pick it up.
Pick it up, read it.
Read it.
Tell me this, what goes through the mind of someone who's Christian? Help us understand this. And you have this concept of original sin, Jesus dying for your sins. We have the concept of taqwa, that God Almighty is the all-seeing, all-hearing. He knows everything. You got the angel on the right, writing the good deeds, one in the bad deeds. So you're always conscious of your actions. And if you make a mistake, you repent. You go straight to the Creator of heavens and earth. Nobody's dying for your sins. There's no JC gold card. Put it on him. He's taking it away from you. No. So this taqwa, the more taqwa you have, God consciousness, fear of God, love of God, this helps to keep you in check. But over here, let's say, what's the concept? If you're in the nightclubs like you were yeah. at that time, are you thinking as the guilt kicking in and you're just like, what do? Then you go some Hail Marys, you're thinking like, okay, Jesus paid for my sins, I'll be okay. What goes through your mind? What was going through your mind as a Christian at that, so we get a better understanding?
It's a battle. It's not consistent. You know, let's say I went to the nightclub, right? And I had to go to church the very next morning. You know, I would just think to myself, well, Jesus died for my sins, so I'm
so getting that's away. What it was.
I'm getting away with it, you know? And I can tell you now, being a Muslim for so many years, I look back at myself and I just laugh, you know, like, how could I ever believe that? Mm-hmm. You know, because as a Christian, we read that God is just. So how is God just if you're a bad person or you're doing all these bad things, and just because you believe in someone, you're going to heaven? So what am I supposed to do if I do something really bad and I feel really guilty about it? What am I supposed to do? Just believe that someone died for me? And that's where I feel like a lot of Christians fall off, because we're very confused. You know, you ask me to explain these things to you, but I really can't. Mm-hmm. Because there's really no explanation. Mm-hmm. We're told, believe that Jesus died for your sins and you're going to heaven. But we're not told, pray a certain times a day, do this, do that. There's no instruction that goes along with it.
No structure, like you were saying.
There's no structure. Yeah. So it's very, very easy to sin.
Islam gives you the structure, discipline, everything is laid out.
Yes.
From business to family to if you want to divorce, marry, even going to the bathroom.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, so many realize, how could a man living in the desert come up with all of these things? And we're not talking about the prophecies, the scientific facts, miracles, things that are just... It's
mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing that a human being can come up with this. It's not just blind faith.
So, when I read the Quran, the first thing that I asked the Muslims around was, when was this book written? There's no way it was written so long ago. They said, well, that book was written 1,400 years ago. And I said, yeah, but there's got to be some type of revisions or something, because how does the Prophet Muhammad know all of this stuff that I'm reading right here? I'm a very educated person. I know that he couldn't have known this. No, it has not changed one letter. To be quite honest, I didn't want to believe that. Mm-hmm. Especially being in jail, there's a lot of shady individuals, and you really don't want to believe everything that you hear. So I ended up talking to an imam that goes to the jail and does Jumu'ah on Fridays. I spoke to him, and he said, look, these are the books that will educate you on what you need to know. I read those books, and I still doubted, because I said, how is it that the author of this book, they tell me it's Allah, it's got to be Allah, but I need to make sure. So whenever I got out, I was a Muslim, right? And I believed in the Quran, because I said, there's no way that this came from man. But I wanted to go search when this book was written. I really wanted to know. When I got out, the sources all pointed to the same thing. Mm-hmm. This book has not changed, and this is how we can prove it hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. This book is a book that is memorized. It is a book that you can grab the last Quran on the face of this earth, you can throw it overboard, and it will still be known. You know why? Because it's been memorized by millions of people since the beginning of the book. It's like the blockchain, right? It's amazing. I just don't understand. Anyone that reads that book, their mind's blown. Like, it's amazing.
I think the only formula, and I often repeat this, is they got to have the right intention, sincere. They got to be wanting them. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you're in the situation and someone's explaining this to you about Jesus. This is one example of Jesus. Who is he praying to? He's praying to himself. He's God. And then you're just like, okay, it doesn't make sense. But then you see some people go in circles. They'll end up, you know, just pulling things out of a hat and just wanting to argue and whatnot. But you were sincere, obviously. You're here.
No, and I mean, and I went through a huge struggle where, you know, I made it, right? I made it. At 17 years old, I signed the contract of my life, right? And I thought that, you know, I was in paradise. But then God came in, showed me the devil.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I opened up in the beginning. People maybe still thinking, of, what do you mean you got to know that God's real, the devil is real?
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
So, I mean, you know, when you make it into something like baseball, right? Something you worked your butt off for, you know, I worked hard from 13 years old all the way to 17 years old. So I want to say 4 years, I dedicated all my time, all my emotions, all my focus into baseball, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And I saw these guys on TV and I said, man, these guys are living the life. These guys are playing, they're making lots of money, they're driving nice cars. So I ended up making it to that level. But when I got there, I saw what's in the background, what you don't see on TV. I saw the emotional effects that all of these things have. A lot of guys depressed. A lot of guys using drugs.
Still, they made it to the top. Still, depression's real for them.
Depression,
drugs,
the drugs.
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Look, I didn't see people doing cocaine until I
sex
made it there.
Sex addiction, that's like a thing.
Sex addiction, I mean, I know I had an addiction to women. it got the alcohol started to get to me, popping pills, just to bring the emotions down.
Wow.
So many things are expected from you at that level. The pressure is high, right? Especially me, I had a lot of pressure on me because I already had a cousin who was super famous in baseball, and they wanted me to live up to his expectations.
You got to perform now. You got to get to a certain level.
Oh, yeah. I got to get to that level. So I ended up getting knee surgery before I was even drafted, and that already had a little handicap on me. So I felt the pressure even more because I had to compete with these other guys.
Yeah.
So these guys, you know, I thought they were perfect seeing them on TV. You know, I thought that they were living that life. They were happy. They were living in paradise. And again, I had not seen anyone take drugs until I got there. I had not seen the alcohol consumption that I saw. I had never been invited to a strip club. I was only 17, 18 years old, and I was allowed to go into the strip club because I was a professional baseball player. You know, I was able to do things that a normal 17-year-old wouldn't have been able to do, 18-year-old wouldn't have been able to do. And it got to me. It got to me because I was under the impression that these guys were clean, right? That these guys were following Jesus to the letter, and that's the reason that they got there, and that's the way that they stayed there. But
because these peers also are Christian. These are,
yeah, a lot of
these guys.
Are there
any other religions or anybody else? I think people think we're just focusing on, are there any other religion, or these are mainly, or people
Jews and Christians are the only ones involved in baseball. You know, it's called a Judeo-Christian sport.
No way, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there was no Muslims there, and I honestly don't think there's been any Muslims
in baseball.
Is that true?
That's how it's been established? Is it a Judeo-Christian sport?
It's a Judeo-Christian sport.
Baseball.
Yeah, baseball.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I didn't know anything about Islam at this point.
Yeah.
The Quran was something, you know, the only thing that I knew about Islam was what I saw on TV. And Eddie, I got to tell you, I was born on 9/11.
You were born on 9/11?
I was born on 9/11, and that's my birthday, right? So imagine me going to school one day, you know, fresh to death in my my new outfit, very happy, and then I get put on to the World Trade Center being blown up, and then everyone saying that Muslims did this, right? And that's something that ingrained in my mind, because for every birthday, I was taught not to forget about this, yeah, right? And I was taught that, you know, all Muslims were basically like this,
yeah,
right? So imagine, you know, me being a Christian, born on 9/11, seeing what happened in the World Trade Center, and I still chose Islam. I want people to think about that.
Yeah, I don't know, something came to my mind. People are still trying to figure out what happened to Building 7, but anyway, that's a different story.
Look, Eddie, you know, without getting into all of that, you know, I had my doubts, and one thing that I always thought in the back of my mind was, why do they vilify Muslims so bad, right? And I can tell you, even until today, Eddie, you look at a character like or a person like Andrew Tate, right, the top G. Why do they vilify him so much, especially after he became a Muslim, right? So it's when the whole World Trade Center thing happened, and I saw the way they acted and they talked about Muslims, I was always intrigued of why they were like that. Why are they doing this? Because I feel like every single time that people are trying very hard to vilify an individual, there's got to be some type of truth in there, right? So it intrigued me to find out about Islam after that, right? And before I met these Muslim individuals who debated me and gave me the Quran and all of that, I was already a little bit intrigued because of the whole 9/11 thing. Right, because I wanted to know exactly who are these Muslims, right? And I ended up having a couple of Muslim friends, Hassan, Hakam, you know, guys from my neighborhood, and they were really good guys. These guys had businesses. These guys lived a very good life. They didn't drink. They didn't smoke. You know, they were what I thought Christians were supposed to be, right? But I just never really asked them anything about it, you know, because I understood at this moment, I thought that it was a religion for Arabs only, and they were Arabic.
Big misconception right there.
Yeah.
You mentioned top G. What does the G stand for? Top Gun? What's Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
And I was really impressed. I kind of slid in. You put together a little talk there on Twitter.
Yes.
And I really liked the topic that you had. And I didn't know that. So from the interview that I did with him, is that how you ended up getting turned out to Andrew Tate?
Yeah.
And then I get turned out to you from Andrew Tate. So it's very interesting how things just went around.
Eddie.
And now you're actually putting together some protests?
Yes, yes.
To try to help to get him free?
Yes.
There's some protest that you're actually the head of and you're helping to organize? Is
yes,
true?
Yeah. Yes. So Eddie, before we get into Andrew, I got to tell everyone that the way I learned about Islam after coming out of jail was via the Dean Show, right? So I've been watching you since I was 22, 23 years old. And I learned so much. So I got to thank you a lot for my Muslim education. But, you know, to get to Andrew, you know, watching your show via, you know, all these years, I was told about Andrew first by my son and my nephew. And my nephew was making this British accent, asking me what color my Bugatti was. And I said, why are you asking me? And why are you talking like that? And he said, Uncle, you should look into a guy named Andrew Tate because you remind me a lot of him, like how masculine you guys are and stuff. I said, I don't know how masculine I am, but I'll look into him. And Eddie, I got to tell you, right then and there, Andrew comes on to a podcast and starts talking about Islam. And then I see him on your podcast. So when I see him on your podcast, I said, man, if Eddie's got him on there, I got to listen to what this guy's got to say. So I listened to why he thought that Islam was the future in terms of religion and why it's the last religion in his point of view. And then I saw him take his shahada with Tam Khan. So I started to think about myself and everything that I've already told you here of my previous lifestyle as a Christian. And, you know, especially, you know, I say that I was a Christian, but I was still living like a someone who didn't believe, because even in Christianity, we're not taught to go out to the nightclubs and hook up with women. You know, although it's allowed, no one's telling you not to do it. I felt like I wasn't a believer. So I see Andrew coming on the scene. He's intrigued with Islam. He's learning about Islam, and then he becomes a Muslim, right? And then everything happens to him right after that in terms of the charges and all of these things. I start to think about myself and I said, well, I'm a Muslim revert and I wasn't perfect before I became a Muslim. And I went to jail on false charges. So it's like Allah was connecting everything, right? He's on the Dean Show. He then gets charged with some bogus charges. Now here I am, right? And I'm on Twitter, and I'm learning a lot about his case via the Muslim community. There's a couple of people who were speaking a lot about him. Suleiman Ahmed, Summer Pacton, a couple of Muslims who were basically defending him from all of these attacks that were happening on Twitter. I was able to learn a lot about his case. Remember, I told you, I have a knack for law now because of my situation. So when I dissected everything, it just didn't add up for me. And I said, you know what? Allah put it into me to help this brother. So I ended up creating TakeProtest.com. And TakeProtest.com is basically...
You created that now.
I created
TakeProtest.com.
TakeProtest.com. So I created TakeProtest.com in order to do two things. To inform people of the injustices in the Tate brothers' case, and to put a worldwide protest together. So it only started as something that was going to be held in the States and London, because they are from the States and they have citizenship in the UK.
Yes.
But then we got so many requests from so many people around the world. So many people wanted to help him because I guess he's helped so many people. And the Muslim community, you know, they were in the front line because he became a Muslim and he was very sincere about it. He started to talk about Islam in a very positive way. And we all recognize that Islam is something that's been vilified for many years. So I felt, as a brother who has the knowledge to put a website together, to understand law, to relate to his prior lifestyle, because I understand a lot of Muslims are not okay with his prior lifestyle. I'm not okay with his prior lifestyle. But I lived that prior lifestyle, and I'm not a hypocrite. And I know that once you take Shahada, Allah releases you from all of those sins. So Allah forgives you from all of those sins. You start with a clean slate, and that's what was afforded to Andrew when he became a Muslim. So I did not want to judge him for his prior lifestyle. I saw a lot of attacks from both the Muslim and non-Muslim community about his prior lifestyle, but I was able to look past that for two reasons. I lived that prior lifestyle, and I became a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And I know what that second thing means, become a Muslim. It's a pact between you and Allah. Allah then releases you of all your sins. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks in this world. Once Allah releases you of those sins, you come with that clean slate. Now it's up to you to become a better person. Well, he was taken away from us via the justice system in Romania soon after that. Is it a coincidence? I don't know.
Right after he accepted Islam.
Right after he accepted Islam.
He goes from Dubai, accepts Islam, lands in Romania. And that case was actually started prior to him coming back. It was already going since April last year.
Oh yeah.
So it's been over about a year.
So the case started, he was first raided April 11th, 2022. Mm-hmm. They go there, they look through all his stuff, all his computers, all his cameras. They find out that these women are lying. They immediately release them. Now these guys are going back and forth from Dubai to Romania. Nothing ever comes of it.
No issues.
As soon as he accepts Islam, next thing you know, they're at his door. He's basically guilty before even, you know, getting his chance in court. Still has not even been charged till today, right? It's crazy. I mean, just seeing that always reminds me of why, as Muslims, we tend to be reserved, right? Because here in America, we've been vilified for many years. Likewise in other countries. I understand that he's in an Eastern Orthodox Christian country. Mm-hmm. From his own mouth, he gave a lot of money to the church before. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But the timing of it, Eddie, is very suspicious.
Very suspicious, right?
Yeah.
So now you go ahead and I can see exactly what you're talking about, because you see that it's a lifestyle that many of us lived. We were in that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And if God Almighty Allah can take a man who has the Bible in his back pocket, tattooed with Jesus, if he can take myself and also bring me to where I'm at today, interviewing people like you, he can go ahead and take a man like Andrew Tate, Tristan Tate, and have them serving his deen and delivering this message like he's been doing, holding the Quran, walking into the prisons. Now, it's step by step. It takes time. I know he gave up alcohol. He's given up. A lot of these things are from the past.
Yes.
The whole webcam and the only girls and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the gambling, all this stuff. He's making strides forward. These things take time. It took time
myself.
Took time with you. It wasn't just like, hey, shahada ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then all of a sudden you're an angel, right? And still to this day, we're sin. We make mistakes. But we turn to the most loving, the most kind, the merciful, the creator of the heavens and earth, God Almighty Allah. But we're striving to go ahead and make things right with our Creator and live upright, morally upright lives in obedience to God Almighty. So you see that, I see that, and alhamdulillah, he's making strides forward.
He is.
And what's the latest now? What is the latest with him?
So I know that he went to court. I believe they went to court today.
He had court now.
Yeah, they had a court a couple of days ago, but the hearing was today to see if they were going to drop the investigation.
Yeah.
They didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
No.
Do you know on what grounds, why they're still holding?
I don't know on what grounds. You know, what people need to understand as well is that when these women filed this report initially on April 11, 2022, when they were released, the brothers were released, then they went and filed a report against the women. And nothing has come from that. Mm-hmm. They don't even talk about it. They filed something because the women were lying. So they wanted the women to get charged for putting them in that situation. And nothing has come from that either. So what we can see is a clear bias against them, not only from the Romanian government, but the mainstream media as well. You don't see any positive headlines when it comes to Andrew Tate. So I feel that the people who were on Twitter speaking and defending his name, they did a lot of good work, because where do we get our information from? We usually get it from the mainstream media, mm-hmm. you know, but thank goodness Elon Musk took over Twitter, and now we're able to have more free speech. And to come back to the protests, the initial date for the protest was going to be April 11th, 2023. Essentially, what I was doing was giving them an entire year to either release them or charge them. They didn't do it. Mm-hmm. They didn't charge them, and they ended up releasing them. Because once they saw the pressure from everywhere, mm-hmm. countries from around the world, I'm talking about India, the countries from Europe, South America, Canada, the United States, we had people from everywhere.
You were organizing all of that.
Yes. So what I did was I put a team together, a team of 5 to 6 individuals. We're spread out all over the globe. And we put a Telegram channel together. And we are able to communicate with each other. And they opened up channels for specific countries. And then what we would do is get leaders from those countries to put in for permits to protest. And these were going to be peaceful protests.
All legally, everything done within the scope of the law, peaceful protests. Tell me, so then they got released before the protest?
They did.
Well, you don't know now. This could have been... definitely had an effect. Now you're like, hey, we got to get these guys out before these protests happen.
I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in my heart, after he became a Muslim, he got into this situation, he must have been praying to Allah, and Allah must have connected me, because I don't think I would have done this for someone who I felt, number one, did it, was guilty, and two, someone who's not committed to the proper lifestyle of Islam. When I see that someone takes that shahada, that testimony of faith, that they want to become a Muslim, that they believe that the Prophet Muhammad was the final messenger, and they want to become a better person via that lifestyle, I'll do it for any of my brothers. So Andrew, he just so happened to had already been spreading a good message before he went in. And a lot of people were captivated by that message. And now him becoming a Muslim, I feel that his message is even going to become more powerful. And I felt that it was my duty as a Muslim brother to do everything that I could. You know, I feel like God put me in everything that he put me through, right? I feel like he put me through all of those things to prepare me for that moment. Because it is one of the biggest things that I've ever done in my life. And I've accomplished a lot of things in my life. You know, I've put together... non-for-profit softball leagues, 300 plus people. You know, I've ran multiple businesses, including teaching baseball to kids. I've been a baseball instructor for years. Mm-hmm. But this worldwide protest was definitely the biggest thing that I've ever done in my life.
So is this all, so you have it set for April 23rd for the protest?
I had it for April 11th.
April 11th. They got out, when did they get out?
March 29th.
March 29th, so what happened?
I believe, yeah.
Okay, March so the protests, they got put on hold for now, or
yes.
They just got canceled?
So we postponed the protests. Essentially, what we want is for these brothers to be exonerated.
Yeah.
Either they charge them or exonerate them. Because if there's no evidence there, you know, I always thought that was torture, keeping these guys in detention with no charges. For that amount of time, it was coming on 3 months.
That's clearly human rights violations. I mean,
and that's what it was all about. That's what the protest was all about, was about human rights. Because we wouldn't want this to happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. This is a human rights issue. It doesn't matter if it's Andrew Tate or if it's Joe Schmo. If an individual is being held without charges for a very lengthy time, right? And this individual has health problems. This individual is not able to see or speak to certain people in his family. You know, now this becomes a human rights issue. And these are things that were put forward by the people that I was following on Twitter, who were attorneys, and they were putting out all the points. So what I did was I grabbed all those points, created TateProtest.com, put all those points on TateProtest.com, and then gave people the platform in order to start a peaceful protest in their community.
Allah, may God Almighty Allah reward you, reward you for this effort. And you don't know, this might have been the reason that, because this obviously...
It's full circle.
You've got all these countries now coming together for this protest. And just coincidentally now, Allah made it that they freed him and let him out. He's not officially clear yet. He's out of the jail, but he's still under house arrest.
Yes.
He still can't be mobile and go anywhere. He can't...
So we don't want to end it until we make sure that a resolution comes out where, look, if they have evidence of a crime, charge him and give him whatever it is that you need to give him in terms of time or a fine or whatever. But don't torture these guys. Don't put these guys back in jail unjustly for a lengthy amount of time in horrible prison conditions, right? Give them their due process. Fulfill their human rights. So that's why we stopped the protests. But if they were to throw them in there again without any evidence of or charges, I should say, right? Because if there's charges, there's most likely evidence. They throw them back in there with no charges. We're coming out. We're going to come out and peacefully protest because that's just what we have to do as humans. We have to protect each other, especially as Muslims. We have to protect each other. We wouldn't want this to happen to anybody.
I know that the pieces add up to Tristan Tate, his brother, also accepting Islam. I don't know. I know we sent, me and Sheikh Uthman, we did, I don't know if you got a chance to see that, we sent a message to Tristan Tate inviting him to Islam. It's a very nice
man. Yes, I've seen it.
And, but is it official? Do you know if he's actually took his Shahada? I don't, as much as you're guessing, as much
no,
as I am.
No, I don't know, you know.
The pieces are there, the fasting, avoiding pork.
I actually put out a tweet, you know, I said if, it's a conspiracy right now. It's a conspiracy theory of mine that he may have taken it, and I want it to be true. Yeah. I want it to be true because Tristan is a great guy.
I don't think, look, Tristan seems very sincere, genuine. You know, that's what I like about these brothers. I was really impressed. He's got the Bosnian from where I'm from, my family trainer, and he was like, you know, I'm old school. I'm not going to go and do something that's going to upset my trainer. He's got, you know, those qualities, really respectful. I'm old school myself. You guys are a little bit younger than me, so I see these things, and I'm betting on these guys because I know what Islam can do. I know if someone has cancer, if someone has a disease, you know the medicine, and now you're betting that if they take this medicine, if they take Islam, they're going to be at a whole nother level. Their character is going to be a whole nother level. They're going to invite into good, forbidding evil. They're going to be people who now are going to make a really great impact of good in the world.
Yes, yes. And they've already started. I know that via the Ramadan, they did a lot of charity. And like you said, Tristan has all the qualities to become a great Muslim, a very good, influential Muslim. And Tristan, if you see this... we're welcoming you to Islam. You know, we need you, brother. Your brother's already there, and I'm sure he's giving you the invitation. We're all waiting for you. We all appreciate everything that you do.
Absolutely. And you now, him seeing this, inshallah, Tristan sees this also. Now he sees someone, again, guys, sink in. Tattooed Jesus, Bible in the back.
You know,
and you are heavily invested.
I was.
You got a lot here going on. I mean, this is, you really are thinking deeply, you're praying on it, and you come this far that you're actually...
I got a Muslim beat up over Jesus.
You got a Muslim beat up over
Jesus. Beat up over Jesus, and then I almost got killed.
things turned around,
yeah. And then I ended up giving that Muslim brother a hug. Telling him that I appreciate him because I took my Shahada with him. He's actually no longer with us. He was from Somalia, and I think he was at a war or something. But I'll never forget him, his face. May Allah have mercy on him. But yeah, brother, it's something that I now hold dear to my heart is Islam.
And I often tell people, look, if you do something very simple and you're sincere and you ask for guidance from the creator of the heavens, they're alone, no intermediary, nobody. I just had somebody I did a program with and he came from a Serbian background. And these things like just really stand out. He was confused, and he's like, God, if you want me to pray to Jesus, who do I pray to? Just unconfuse me. Just guide me to the way that you want me, without coming in and saying, look, Jesus, guide me. Muhammad, guide me. No, the one who created me, guide me. Yes. That's very straightforward. It goes with the fitrah, the innate nature that we're created with, to worship God Almighty alone. It's in the Lord's Prayer. O our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Submitting your will to the one God. That just makes sense. So if you're asking God Almighty, Allah, the Creator, you didn't even say Allah, the one who created me, guide me, I'm confused, I'm in a world of confusion, the devil's all around me, these forces of evil, I want to do good, guide me. There's no way if Tristan, inshallah, if he watches this and he prays for God, if he didn't already, we don't know, if he didn't, that they would lead him to go ahead and do something that his brother did. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. There's nothing worthy of worship except Allah, the Creator of heaven and Muhammad is the Messenger. That's it. And then he would accept all those messages that came before him. Jesus, Moses, Abraham, that yes. line of preceding messengers. But give them their rights as messengers, not as a part of God or like Jesus, and I saw you going back and forth and you know you're really into sharing now the dawah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's touch upon this. You know, the importance also before we conclude of not keeping that truth just for yourself. Having that confidence also to go ahead in a loving, caring way to show, because I don't want our Christian friends out there, you know, I believe any person who sincerely wants to be Christ-like, do what Jesus did. Jesus did Islam. He was a Muslim. They're going to transition smoothly. They're going to come over yes. just like you did. So this is out of the love that we're going sharing this message with the Christians and others out there who are seeking to know the purpose of life, why would we create it, where they're going when they die. They want to connect and make it right with their Creator. They're going to come to the same way of life of Islam that you did.
Yes. So, you know, for those Christians that are out there listening, you know, I have a lot of Christian followers on Twitter. I go by the conservative Muslim. And I'm speaking a lot about Islam. And I'm doing comparisons with Christianity. And I don't want them to believe that I'm trying to knock Christianity. But I want to say that I just don't agree with the church and where we're at today in Christianity, because we see what's going on in the churches in terms of, you know, who's getting married and the type of individuals who are leading.
Didn't the Pope just recently also say that he affirmed this whole thing? If you want to, you know, he's catering to a lot of these.
Yeah, he's catering to the new ideology, which I know a lot of Christians are upset about. So I want them to know that you guys have a way out. Islam is not going to take anything away from your beliefs, aside from pure monotheism, which is believing that one God. As Christians, we believe that the only way to get to God is via Jesus. But as a Muslim, we understand that to get to God, you just have to go straight to his door. God will open that door for you. And this is what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that there is only one God, and that only God is the Savior, the one that can save you. He directed everyone to God. So what happened after Jesus, I believe, was the church took over and played with his message, and now is confusing everyone to believe that you have to go to Jesus to get to God, making him some type of middleman. I understand that people want to believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus in the essence that we believe that he is a prophet, a messenger who came to speak to the children of Israel, and that he is the Messiah who will come back to defeat the Antichrist. Christians believe this as well. So I want them to know that there is a bridge there between Christianity and Islam. But what I would like them to really look at is the evidences that we see today. Which religion is accepting this satanic ideology that we see? Is it Christianity or is it Islam? We have to be honest with ourselves, right? So I had to be honest with myself. I got that guy beat up when I was in jail. Didn't want to accept the message that he was saying. My head was big. You know, I had this huge ego. I wanted to look good. You know, I felt empowered by I don't know what. But at the end of the day, I had to humble myself down. And I had to look and see the truth. That's what everyone needs to do. They just need to look around them and see the truth. Which religion is it that's protecting children, that's protecting families, that's pro-life, that's pro-business, right? And you'll find that in Islam. And they'll see that Islam is not too much different than Christianity. We have a lot of the same beliefs, right? But it's the pure monotheism that we're bringing to the table. that you can go straight to God. And when you have that connection with God, everything just becomes a lot better.
And the blueprints there that you didn't have at that one point early in life.
Oh, yeah.
Everything from when you wake up in the morning, the structure is there throughout the day to when you go to bed. Everything is there on how
you need
to function so you can go ahead and avoid the hellfire and get to Jannah, to paradise, by submitting to your creator, not to your desires or human being or anything in creation, but the one who created creation, God Almighty, Allah. God Almighty. People can look you up at The Conservative Muslim there. You have your Twitter.
Yes.
And they can follow up and connect with you.
Yes, they can. And check out TateProtest.com. You know, we don't want to take our attention away from TateProtest.com or the Tate brothers because they need our help in this moment. They're not free and clear, right? And they're getting these, what they call matrix attacks, right? From here and there or whatever. And we're trying to keep everything alive because we don't know what could happen. So, you know, for those Muslims out there who are doubting Andrew Tate, I want them to know that they shouldn't doubt. The Prophet Muhammad said that as a Muslim, we shouldn't try to find fault in other Muslims, number one. And number two, we shouldn't have false suspicions against Muslims, you know. So we have to pray for the brother that he becomes a better Muslim.
I mean, absolutely.
Right? So, and as for Tristan, if he took his Shahada, alhamdulillah. If he hasn't, inshallah, he takes it.
Thank you very much. May God Almighty Allah reward you. Very nice meeting and having you on the program.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah.
Alright guys, so we signed everything here. Bismillah. Now we're off to the next step. We gotta get the keys now.
حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم بالحب اجتمعنا وربنا يحييكم مرحبا ويا هلا فيكم انتم منا واحنا فيكم بالمحبة نحييكم يا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا ويا هلا يا هلا ويا هلا ويا
Of Muslims around here, it's pretty huge, and the location that you opened in, basically it's further south from the other big masajid, and everyone, I know a lot of people that I used to come. My cousin lives 9 minutes from here. Another uncle of mine lives about 5 to 10 minutes from here. This area, the masjid, alhamdulillah, opened up in an area that it's much needed, and this size, this center is much needed for this area, and the idea of this center is needed for the whole state, because we don't have anything like that in the whole state, the da'wah center where it's going to basically nurture and basically educate, and it's going to basically spread Islam.
حن قلبي على جمعة الخير هلا